Galatians chapter 1. And he did about give me a heart attack this morning, though, when he's preaching in between the messages. The title of my message is Fake News. So, I don't know. But fake news is a real problem.
Yes.
When you have people in powerful positions using the influence they have to intentionally deceive people, purposely lie about people, maliciously seek to ruin other people, to advance any kind of agenda, that's wicked.
Yes.
It's always wicked to lie. No matter, there's no justification for a lie. Lying is sinful. But fake news is dangerous because we can get easily hooked. I read one study that says that we are far more likely to get tricked if it's saying something that we kind of already agree with. In other words, if we read something that's putting somebody else down that we don't like, we'll fall for it a whole lot easier. And we're not as good at finding liars as we think that we are. We think that we all can spot a lie and a deception, but we're not as good as we think we are. I read another study that said they showed a video to 15,000 people, and one person was lying in it and the other person wasn't. And way less than 50% of the people could spot the liar. But everybody knew that they could. Everybody has that confidence that they can. We're just not as smart as we think we are in that regard. I've never, ever heard somebody say, well, I'm not very street smart. You know, everybody thinks, well, I don't have a lot of education, but I'm street smart. Well, that's why we fall for cons, because con men know that. People know that we have more confidence in ourselves than we really should. Now, you might not fall for a phone scam, or you might not fall for fake news, or you might not get excited if you get an email about a rich Nigerian prince who has a vast fortune. He needs to get to the United States and just needs your bank account. You might not fall for that, but you are susceptible to false news, fake news. Now, see, the church in Galatia, there were men who had come in preaching behind Paul a different gospel.
Right.
And the problem was that it was no gospel at all. So what's the gospel? The gospel was good news. What did these men come and preach? They preached fake news, a false gospel. So let's look in Galatians 1 and verse 6. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace, unto a grace of Christ, into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So they had come in behind Paul and preaching a fake news, a fake gospel. They had come as ministers of light. They had come with an air of authority coming from Jerusalem. They had come saying, we are Jews and we are the Jews of Jews. We have this training. We have this information that you Galatians, you just don't have. And 90% of what they said was right on the money. They believed in believers' baptism. They believed the truth about the church. They had 90% or even more, right. But they had that 10% of that lie, and it was damnable.
Yeah.
It was no gospel at all, even though they had 90% of it right. Even though they had all the elements, they added to that,
right.
And that made it a false gospel. So we're going to look at this passage this morning, and first we'll see that this was an amazing grace, but an amazing apostasy at the same time. Paul writes a standard introduction, and then just right after that, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. It's like, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, grace and peace unto you. I can't believe that you have fallen for this false gospel.
Right.
He just starts out amazed that they had been duped and deceived by this false gospel.
Right.
The gospel of Christ is amazing. Think about it. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. We're saved by grace through faith, and that's the gift of God. It's accounted to us for righteousness. We are forgiven and justified by the faith in the sinless life and sacrificial death and victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. All my sins are forgiven. I'm no longer condemned since I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm free from the condemnation of God's law. I'm born again. I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And I didn't have to do a thing in the world to earn it. Freely, by God's grace, He saved me and delivered me from the punishment of hell and delivered me from this present evil world. That is the amazing grace that Paul came and preached and that these Galatians had believed. But Paul was also amazed at the Galatians. He said, I marvel. I marvel at you. I don't understand it. I am amazed. It's astonishing to think that you had heard this gospel, that you have received this good news, that God saves sinners and reconciles them to Himself by by free grace. And then you would thumb your nose at that and turn your back on God and follow another gospel. It's amazing that you would do that. That you are removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ. Not that I'm amazed that you just start going to church somewhere else, or I'm amazed that you've dropped the ball in this area. He said, I'm amazed that you are so soon removed from God that you will follow this false doctrine. The Lamb of God came into this world and died for them and freely gave them all things. The Eternal Son shed His life's blood to give them life, and God imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to their account. And He called them to the gospel, and they left and turned back and going back into works righteousness. It is amazing what they traded for this fake news, for this fake gospel. It is amazing what they turned their back on, that they could go back under the law. It's amazing that they had forsaken the gospel, but they had done it so quickly. It hasn't been too long since Paul left the area and had confirmed them, and they were sound. And as soon as he left, it's not been too long since these men came in and deceived them or started preaching this dangerous heresy. New converts are delicious for these wolves that are seeking whom they could devour. In these churches, there were men from Jerusalem with prestige and experience who had come to help these poor, ignorant Galatians see the truth. That they had to rescue them from that intolerant Paul. The very first part of this introduction, Paul is not just an introduction. If you read the whole book and think about it, Paul is defending himself right from the bat. Because he said, I'm not an apostle of men, neither by man. There was no council. There was no group of men who made me an apostle. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Because they were saying, you can't listen to that Paul. He's not really an apostle. Don't listen to him. You got to listen to us. Paul's intolerant. People still hate Paul, even today.
Right.
And you notice anytime someone is propagating a false doctrine, they're going to attack the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Paul's out of touch. Or you don't understand Paul. You have to get in the mind of Paul and think about it from this way. You can't just read what Paul says, but you have to go and you have to read all these other sources first. Then you can understand what Paul's saying. They still hate the Apostle Paul.
They do.
And it's amazing that so quickly they fell into this deception. It's amazing they had forsaken God and His Christ and done it so easily. What a priceless treasure we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. There are unsearchable riches in Christ. There are unfathomable depths to His love. There are untrackable glories in His gospel. I truly believe that we'll spend eternity gazing into the glories of the gospel. That we will never stop learning and thinking and meditating on what Christ has done for us. You read the book of Revelation and all the Psalms. You know, there's prophecy of what we will sing. There's songs in there that you're going to sing when you're in heaven. And it's about the Lamb and the blood of our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And yet how amazing it is that one could leave so quickly. How telling it is that wretched sinners who have beheld with eyes of faith the Lord Jesus Christ and tasted the grace of our Lord could go so easily to other pastors looking away from their shepherd. How weak and frail we are, and how wondrous our Savior is that He will rescue us, His people, because we are so prone to wander. It's amazing that they were removed from the gospel to works. When you think of it in these terms, it's a marvel that people will leave the gospel for anything else, because everything else is inferior. Because grace is so amazing. it's amazing that we can be tempted to look to another way.
Yes.
To go from amazing grace to another gospel. And that's the second point we'll think about. Amazing grace and another gospel. Because really, it's not another gospel. Paul didn't really have... He says another gospel, but he says it's not really another gospel. They'll call it the gospel, but it's not really. They call it good news, but it's not really good news.
That's right.
What could be better than the true gospel? Would it be better if God required you to live in sinless perfection? Would that be better? Would you prefer that God require you to achieve a certain level of righteousness to earn your way to heaven? Do you think it would be better if your salvation was based upon your works and your merit? Is that better than having the righteousness of Christ imputed to your account? I'd much rather have be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ than have to stand in my own righteousness.
Yeah.
Well, that's what these men were preaching. That you need additional righteousness. You need to take another step. You need Christ plus circumcision. You need Christ plus these Old Testament ways. That Christ was not enough for them.
Right.
You can have peace by having faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Or you can have peace by keeping the law of God. And all the law of God. And all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not even counting the fact that we are born in Adam's guilt. But you would still have to keep all of the law all of the time. Now I know most people can't do that. So that's why they forget about Adam's guilt. We just won't worry about that. We'll just start now. Well, we've already sinned, so we got to start. No, we'll start now. All right, ready? No, we're going to start tomorrow, and then we'll start living right. And, you know, it's always down the road we'll get our life in order. And we'll forget about yesterday and the day before that. But God doesn't forget about those things.
That's right.
So they have a sort of hybrid gospel to where Jesus can save us from all the sins that we've committed, and all the sins that that we might commit, but we'll sort of help him along as well. And they combine the two things. Well, that's what the Galatians had. Or at least they thought they had. It's a hybrid. We'll do a little bit of Old Testament law, and we'll attach that to the New Testament, and more has to be better.
Right.
No, the gospel is the good news that our Lord entered into his own creation. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lamb of God, who lived a perfect, sinless life, offered that life as a substitute for sinners, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, suffered the wrath of God. We are redeemed by his blood. He rose again for our justification. And we have that living Savior, our living hope and our living Savior. And this is the gospel that we must hold to and then we must cling to. And it's the only gospel there is that saves. Any other gospel will not save.
Yes.
You trust in the risen Savior, and you'll be saved. That's the only good news that there is. If you add to that message, if you take away from that message, then it's no longer good news. It's a false news. It's a false good news. It's fake. It's worthless. There's nothing there. There's no such thing as another gospel. The Christian life is not like a cafeteria. It's not like we go through the lunch line and you can have some barbecue or you can have some turkey or whatever you want. You just pick and choose and you put all the food on your plate. That's not how spiritual life is. You don't get to go and say, well, I like this part from the Old Testament. I think I'll choose this one. And I like this, what it says about the church, and I'll choose this. But this other stuff, I'll leave it aside. That's not how it works. They were turning away from Jesus Christ by adding to it. You think about it in these terms, the blood of Christ was not enough for them.
Right.
It wasn't enough. The death of Christ was not enough. It was enough for the Father. Isaiah 53 said that he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied.
Right.
The substitutionary death of Christ was enough for the Father. But it's not enough for people. Well, that's not enough for me. I have to add my works to it. I have to do something to earn it as well. The wrath of God poured out on the only begotten Son of God was not enough for these Galatians. Well, that was good that he did it, and I'm glad that he did, but I have to add my part to it as well. They turned from the gospel, away from Christ, to look for better pastures.
That's right.
There's two paths before you, the gospel and every other message.
That's right.
If you turn from the true gospel, where will you go? I'm like Peter and said, to whom shall we go? Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus said, you guys want to leave me too? And there, after he preached that hard message and everybody started leaving him, and there's just a handful of them left, and he said, you're going to leave too? And Peter said, where else are we going to go? You're the only way of salvation. We have no place else to go. When they turn from the gospel, they have nowhere else to go for salvation. Every other gospel is taking you away from Jesus. So you should be on the lookout for what's taking you away from Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about from behind a pulpit or on the radio. Or there's all kinds of people preaching to you, trying to take you away from Jesus Christ. I think it's hilarious when people say they won't come to church because they don't like preaching. Well, that's a lie. People love preaching. Turn on the news every night after you get home from work and you listen to people preach to you. That's all they're doing is preaching to you. You have to live this way, and you have to think this way, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. They're preaching to you. Mm-hmm. Well, you turn off the news, and you'll say, well, I want to watch watch something else on TV. Then you'll watch a TV show, and they're preaching to you.
Right.
Well, you turn on a movie, and they're preaching to you. You turn the whole thing off, turn the radio on, they're preaching to you.
Yes.
This is how you, if you want to be happy, you have to live like this. You have to drink this, and go here and do that. Well, you get on Facebook and everybody's preaching to you.
Yeah.
And you get on all these other places. Everybody's preaching to you, telling you what you have to do and what you have to think. So don't tell me you don't like preaching. Everyone loves preaching. They just don't like preaching about Jesus.
Right.
And you're told how to think, how to dress, how to buy, which company is moral and which company is immoral to buy from. And this one supports that cause. It's all preaching. But it's all another gospel. You won't find peace in that. You won't find comfort. You won't find joy. You certainly won't find salvation. These churches in Galatia were responsible for the betrayal of their Lord. I've said a lot about these false preachers, but they were responsible for this.
Yeah.
You know, Eve can't blame the devil for giving her a false gospel. Then we can't blame the devil's children if we believe their false gospel. If Eve can't say, well, the devil made me believe that because he said the original false gospel, and you shall not surely die. We can't blame the false preachers. We can't blame the Joel Osteens in that crowd. You know why Joel Osteen's so popular? Because that's what people want.
Right.
If people didn't want it, he wouldn't do that. He's a spiritual capitalist. He knows what people want, and he gives it to them at a price they're willing to pay for it.
Right.
And that's what false preachers do.
Yes.
But it is an atrocious doctrine of the false preachers. In verse 7, he said, it's not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let them be accursed. It's bad enough to believe a false gospel, but it's also amazing that you could be drawn to a false gospel. But to proactively teach a false gospel and lead other people astray, it's atrocious.
Amen. Yeah.
Paul had no time, he had no sympathy for people that would lead others away from the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
There's a lot of reasons people will listen to a false preacher. He might be an eloquent speaker. He might have boyish good looks and a charming personality. Brother Joe Wilson, he was my pastor for a time as well, and He said, I don't think God calls good-looking preachers. And I just think, well, is he saying I'm ugly, or is he saying I'm not called to be a preacher? I don't know. I never did ask him. But I'm sure it certainly helps anybody that wants to gain a following.
Sure.
Well, maybe he's sophisticated. Maybe he sounds very intelligent and has a soothing voice, and he just sounds educated, and people are drawn to that. But the main reason people follow a false teacher is because they've got what they're looking for.
Right.
They've got an itch, and somebody's out there willing to scratch it.
Right.
Men are natural Arminians. They're naturally drawn to working for their salvation. And if they grow weary of the same old grace and the same old truths that they hear, they'll long to hear news from the old country, and they'll start looking for somebody to give them some little bit of works to do and little stuff to add to the gospel. False teachers may offer something new and exciting, but they don't offer anything good and healthy. The false preachers are troublers. They trouble their hearing, is what Paul said. This word trouble, if you think about it, it's comparing to the grace and peace that you find in verse number 3. grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God. You have grace with God. But these false gospels, so you have grace and peace in the good news of Jesus Christ, but you have these other men who are troublers who give you a false good news, a false gospel. They're troublers. They forsake the peace of God to follow these agitators of their souls. You know, the Pope is a troublemaker because of his false doctrine. Priests are troublemakers because they lead people astray and cause them to look away from Jesus. Prosperity preachers are troublemakers because they trouble souls with false doctrines and false hopes of healing and looking away from the Lord Jesus. But false teachers trouble their hearers by stirring up the hearts of rebellion. Stirring up the hearts of rebellion against souls of men who are in churches, souls of people who don't even know Jesus. They lead them astray. They're troublemakers. They troubled this church. And they came in speaking truth, but it was a false, or they said they were speaking truth, but it was false.
Yes.
False preachers aren't scary looking men. They don't come in with horns and pitchforks and you see them and say, well, stranger danger, you know, that's what you tell your kids. They come in nice, and they come in shaking hands, and they come in very soothing and likable type of people. You say, well, I'd never fall for that. I'd never put aside the gospel just to follow along with something like that. Well, how about a group of fun-loving, moral duck hunters who have long beards and talk about Jesus before they eat on TV? You know they're Campbellites, right? I heard one of them preaching, and one of them said, you have to be baptized or you'll go to hell.
Right. So they believe.
So they're Campbellites. They don't believe the gospel. They believe another gospel.
Yeah.
And while they pray and while they have the Bible open on TV and all that, they've got another gospel.
True.
So we can say, well, these people over here, they're evil because, I said the Pope and I said the priest and everybody amen me. But when we get to moral people who are nice and things such as that, who have a false gospel, they're just as much troublemakers because they have a false gospel. The gospel is of utmost importance. False teachers aren't all prosperity preachers like Benny Hinn. They can be nice, moral, clean-living, Bible-quoting family men who have 90% truth and 10% heresy, which makes it another gospel, which makes it damnable if you believe it.
Right.
If you add to the gospel, it's not the gospel anymore. Chris and the boys were gone one day, and I was going to make supper, and I made some stew, and I followed the recipe exactly. It called for just a little bit of cayenne pepper, and I put a little bit of cayenne pepper in it, and I thought, well, a little bit's good, a whole lot's going to be a whole lot better. Well, I added to that, and I said, well, if it called for hot stuff, maybe a little bit more hot sauce, so I put some hot sauce in there. I added to it. You know, I followed that recipe exactly. Everything that it said to do, I did it. Every ingredient it said to put in there, I put it in there. It's just I put a little bit extra in there. And you know what? It wasn't the same stew that Mommy fixes, right? I was the only one that liked it. That was a result of it. I added to it. It wasn't the same. I added to it and it became something else. It wasn't like it was supposed to be. So even if these men, they believe church truth, they believe believers' baptism, they believe that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for sin, they believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They believe these things and confess these things and preach these things, but they also said, but you also have to be circumcised. You have to add that to that. And for that, Paul says, let them be accursed. This is from hell. These men are not our brothers. Let them and their damnable gospel be accursed to hell. That's what Paul's not joking around. This is not anything to play around with, the gospel. It doesn't make it better. You know, we have this mindset that I know the Lord said that he saves us by his grace, but if I just do this a little bit more and add this a little more, it'll make it more holy. It'll make it just a little bit better. That's what the Pharisees did.
Yeah.
They said, well, I'm going to follow the law of God, and God says not to do this, but I'm going to extend the fence out just a little bit more, and that'll make me more holy. I'll be more holy by making more laws that'll protect me from the laws that God already said. It didn't make him more holy. It doesn't make you closer to God. It makes you farther away. Adding to the gospel doesn't put you in a higher spiritual level. It moves you further from God. And the sad thing was, someone was coming in and just preaching this garbage is what it was, and the church was giving them a platform. The church was allowing it to come in. I once read a contract writer for a celebrity preacher. And you know what a contract writer is? So if you have a musician coming in, they'll say, we'll pay you this much amount of money, and they'll come and they'll say, I need this additional stipulations. So one famous one was that I read that this band required M&Ms backstage, but all the brown ones had to be taken out. You know, so that was their stipulation. We'll come and do that, but you have to pay us and you have to do this. Another one was they wanted broccoli chopped up real fine and then immediately thrown in the trash because they didn't like broccoli. You know, just that was in their contract. There was a rider. Well, this preacher had a rider. I read it on his website. And he said, if you're going to have this man preach at your Bible conference, you have to have 500 people in attendance. You have to have a place for him out front, a prominent place for him to sell his books and his tapes and his CDs. You had to give him so much money. You had to provide travel for him and his companion to and from the church building. No one was allowed to record the messages because they were copyrighted, and he would record them and he would do what he wanted to with them. So that was if you was going to be graced to have this man preach, that was the stipulation. You know, it ought to be the other way around, right? It's the preacher shouldn't be making demands. I'll do if you do this, this, and this, then I'll preach. It's the church that ought to have the stipulations. Hey, preacher, what do you believe? What do you confess about Christ Jesus the Lord? The church must demand. The church must protect the pulpit from men such as that. It is the church that has the stipulations. If you want to stand behind the pulpit, then this is what you have to believe and this is what you have to confess, not the other way around. Well, these men were prestigious and they were coming in. These are the demands that we're going to have to make. They were accursed teachers with an accursed doctrine. So that's the fourth thing, accursed teachers of accursed doctrine. This wasn't a territorial issue with Paul. He wasn't upset because somebody came in preaching after him. Read Philippians 1. Paul was in prison and people were preaching just to irritate him. He said, I don't care. As long as Christ is being preached, it doesn't matter to me why they do it as long as they're preaching the truth. So that it's not a personality conflict here. They were preaching a false gospel. And just aside from that, Paul didn't care as long as people were preaching the truth. But look what he said there. Though we or any angel. Paul said, if I come back there and say, you know, I was saved in those first 5 or 6 years after I was saved, I was really zealous. I was a young man and I was just on fire for the Lord. But I've mellowed out in my old age and I'm not as fiery and I'm not a troublemaker like I used to be. And those things I used to say about Jesus Christ, you know, I've mellowed out and I've become more tolerant in my old age. Paul says, if that ever happens, you don't listen to me. Paul concluded himself and Timothy and all of his preacher friends. He said, if we come back there and preach something else, you kick us out. He said, it's not about me, it's about the truth. Then even more astonishing than that, he says, if an angel from heaven preaches another gospel. You know, if the back door opened right now and an angel walked through here in all of its shining brightness, so much that we shook and trembled with fear, and that angel came up here with a flaming sword and said, I have a message from God, and it was another gospel. You know, Paul said that we'd have to summon up our courage and stand opposed to such a being. We'd have to say to that angel, we can't physically overcome you, but we'll die at your hands before we let this gospel be preached uncontested. That's an amazing thought, that if an angel from heaven comes, we have the responsibility to stand against that false gospel and not let anyone or any being or anything pronounce another gospel. That is an amazing thing that Paul has commanded us to do. He makes it a point that it's not men, but it's Christ. Any deviation, that is a perversion. It's corrupting the truth. Anybody that changes the gospel has perverted it. There can be no compromise with the gospel at all. He says it twice in a row. There in verse 8 and 9. He says it twice in a row. Let him be accursed. So I've preached it before, and I'll say it again. He says it twice here. Let him be accursed. And it doesn't matter who it is, or how many followers they have, or how many books they've sold, or how faithful they used to be. There can be no compromise with the gospel whatsoever.
Right.
So what are we to do? You know, there's no shortages of ways that the gospel can be perverted. But you have to remember that Paul just boils it down to us. There's two choices. There's a million different false gospels, but really there's two choices. The true gospel and everything else. You have the true gospel, and you have to reject anything that's not the true gospel. And, you know, I picked on Duck Dynasty there, so I'll make everybody else mad at me. I'll pick on C.S. Lewis. Now, there's a man that I heard one person say he's the homeschooler's the patron saint of homeschoolers.
Oh, boy. Yes,
because you get in the homeschool community, all C.S. Lewis, he's just the end-all, be-all. You know, he didn't believe in justification by faith.
Right.
He agreed with baptismal regeneration.
Right.
He believed that the Bible was not inerrant.
Right.
He believed the Bible was not inspired. He believed in purgatory. He believed he was a universalist.
Right.
That's in those Narnia books, universalism. Oh, but he's a Christian. Oh, we have to love C.S. Lewis. Martin Lloyd Jones said he didn't think he was a Christian at all. Here's a writer that confesses he's a Christian, and because we're so intrigued, we want somebody on our side. We want somebody that the world likes, and say the world likes C.S. Lewis, so we get to like him too because he's a Christian, even though he had a false gospel. And teaches the false gospel in children's books, and people just think the world of him. You have to be careful, and you can't. So we're just being intolerant and being narrow-minded. We're talking about the gospel here.
Amen.
We're not talking about, this is not secondary issues or gray issues or anything. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, if an angel comes and preaches, you let them be accursed. You cut them off. If you add one thing to the gospel, it's not the gospel. It falls in the camp of falsehood. If you add something idolatrous like the Mass, it's another gospel. If you take something good and holy like baptism and add it to the gospel, you've perverted the gospel.
Yes.
If you take anything away from the gospel like repentance and faith, that's another gospel. You take it away, you add to it. If it's not the gospel, it's false. You need to be on guard and know the gospel. You got to study the gospel. Now, you need to be able to communicate the gospel. And I'll just say this. You might be young in the faith, and you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your soul. But you might not be able to communicate it very well. You need to study until you can communicate that faith.
Right.
Until you can tell other people about it. And you need to know the gospel better. That's your best defense. Your best defense against a forgery is to know the true thing.
Right.
If you know the true thing frontwards and backwards, you'll know anything that's not the true thing. So you need to study and know it and be able to communicate, to believe it and know this deep marrow of theology. You need to cling to the gospel. When you've sinned and fallen again and you failed and you're ashamed of what you've done and ashamed of what you've neglected to do, you need Christ. Because
right.
The whole world has a ton of things that will preach to you. Mindfulness, yoga, mindless meditation. You know, that's like a wordless reading, mindless meditation. Meditation is thinking. And this Hinduism that's just being repackaged now is mindless meditation. Let your mind go blank. You let your mind go blank, the devil put anything in he wants in there. Any number of things the world will have you to take you away from Jesus Christ to make you feel better, to get away from that guilt and shame. You need the gospel. You need to be in church to hear the gospel. As a church, you need to protect the gospel. Churches must be vigilant in guarding the pulpit and guarding who they send out from the pulpit. We need to train men to be able to go forth and be prepared. I know in You know, if you've got a small church, you get excited if anybody wants to do anything. But then somebody comes along and says, I want to be a preacher. Oh, boy, we get real excited then. But we got to make sure they know the truth and know the gospel and are prepared and ready. That's how we can help ourselves and protect ourselves. We need to protect the inside of the church. We need to go out with the true gospel outside of the church and declare it. Verse 10, we'll close. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You might think I've been harsh, but Paul wasn't trying to persuade God of this fact.
Right.
He was telling the Galatians, who were not convinced of God's truth. This is not going to win friends, I know, and I'm not going to lie, and I say, I don't care. People say, I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, I'm not like that. Maybe that's just me, but I don't want people to hate me, right? I don't think Paul wanted people to hate him. But his point was, I'm not going to seek to please men. If people hate me for telling the truth, then so be it. And that's our concern. If our first concern is to please God, then we're a servant of God. We can't be servants of people. I'm Christ's servant, and I'll seek to please him and do what he says. I'll be intolerant because there's no other gospel.
Right.
You know, getting tricked by fake news and politics, that's not a big deal in the scheme of things.
No.
But taking in a false gospel is damnable.
Yes.
Be aware of what you're listening to. Be aware of what you're drinking in. And cling to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord bless preaching of his word.